Begin our Sola series. Since October is Reformation Month, we celebrate the Reformation Day, started in 1517, October 31st, by Luther and other reformers. So we will begin the Sola series based on theologians' conviction. And so our first text is from 2 Timothy Chapter 3, verse 10 through 17, but majorly we will be looking at 16. Before we read the text, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this great opportunity to look into your holy word, to carefully study and read and apply all the things that we found from the Bible into our lives. Lord, thank you so much for helping us to find your salvation plan from the Genesis to the Revelation. It's about all about Jesus Christ. Lord, as we are looking at our text today, would you help us to bring our heart to you and refocus our mind and hearts, setting our thoughts and our faith on Jesus Christ. Bless our congregation, even bless me as I'm going to deliver your word. Please use me just as your instrument so that I and all our congregation will see your glory and honor. We will experience your holy presence in our worship service, Lord. We pray all these things in your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. That is a page number from our Pew Bibles, 1269. If you have a different Bible, that's fine. And our Pew Bibles, we are using the ESV. This is the Word of God. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and the sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, in which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and then how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is the Word of God. As we're looking at our text, and probably it will help for you if you read later, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, and from Psalm, based on our sermon series last month, Psalm 19 and 33, Psalm 46, and Psalm 119, even Revelation chapter 22, all these chapters or verses are about the Word of God. They will be helpful for your further study. Now, why Timothy? Now, based on Acts 16 and 17 and 19, who's Timothy? And his mother was a believer, and then father was a Greek, half Jewish. And then based on our study in Acts 16, 17, 19, and he was well spoken by many people in his hometown in Lystra and Iconium. So he was a good Christian. And he finally became Paul's companion, or we can say assistant, on Paul's secondary missionary journey. And then in Acts chapter 17, we looked at the book of Philippians last year, and in Acts chapter 17, Paul started a new church, actually planted the Philippian church, the first European church, and Timothy was with Paul. So he's an important person. And in Acts 19, and Paul commanded him to stay in Ephesus, which is he became a pastor or minister or evangelist of Ephesian church and Ephesian Christians. And oftentimes Paul said that Timothy was like a son. Philippians chapter 2, and in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he was like a son to Paul. And Timothy was a third generation believer. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 5 said his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois so inherited God's teaching and God's promise and the gospel of Jesus Christ from their parents and his grandmother. So Paul urged him in our text again, in the verse 14, it's really interesting to see that in our text, the verb remain in 14 is really important. And he said in 14, remain. Paul urged Timothy to remain at Ephesus. Why? To teach the Bible and to protect the church from false teachers. And 14 says, but as for you, continue, that's remain, continue in, keep doing what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Then Paul, beginning of our text in chapter 3, verse 10, gives an example to Timothy. And then Paul calls Timothy to remember Paul's lifestyle for the truth of Jesus Christ. In verse 10 and 11, it's interesting to say, he said, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, and my love, and my steadfastness. And verse 11 goes, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra, and the persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Now, because of Paul is presenting seven nouns here, seven lifestyles in verse 10. And Paul says, because of his lifestyle, preaching, conduct, aim, and faith, patience, love, and steadfastness, he was able to do something. He was able to do endure persecutions and sufferings in verse 17. Now, Paul is giving these all different examples to Timothy. And why? Why was Paul talking about himself and his teaching and conduct and faith and love as examples to Timothy? Now, is he boasting himself and bragging himself and about what he did? And the answer is no. Reasons for him to presenting his lifestyle to Timothy here is to encourage Timothy to faithfully teach the Bible, teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Ephesian Christians. So basically saying, you have watched and learned things from me, practice all these things. That we wonder what happened to them, the church, the Ephesian Christians. That's interesting. Verse 13, our text says that what happened is that while evil people, yes, evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse. So something is going on in the church and deceiving and being deceived. Now, who are these evil people at the Ephesian church? Now, we can say false teachers based on 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. If you want, you can look at the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. These are people that are devoted themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculation. All the words that we don't like, it's here. Myths and endless genealogies and promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. So people who are talking about different things, they are in the church. And more strikingly, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, teachers of the law, they are teachers of the law, and see, without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Can you believe that? They call themselves teachers of the law, but they don't know what they are trying to say, you know, understand about the scriptures. And here the confident assertion in Greek means confidently saying something, but here is without knowing, confidently talking about something. Their personal views and thoughts and theories and then laws, understanding of the Bible, they're adding things to the Bible. The Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19 says, there's no adding to the Bible, no taking words from out of the Bible. But these people in Ephesians, they were doing that. They're confidently saying something about their personal things or views, but Paul says they don't know anything about the Bible without understanding. So it's happening. It was happening in that church. Then the real problem is, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 6, certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion. That's happening. That happened in the church. So think about it. Let's bring our attention to Timothy in Ephesus. As a young pastor or minister, Timothy faced many serious challenges in the church. Now, Paul wanted him to remember and encourage him to continue to stay there and continue to remember all the teachings that he had learned and to teach the truth of Jesus Christ. That's verse 14. As for you, continue in what you have learned and what have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it. As I mentioned here, continue. The imperative word is kind of holding all the verses together, all the teachings of our text together. Continue. Remain that teaching from the Bible. Do not stop, but keep going. Keep teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. Continue in the things that you have learned and you have firmly convinced of Jesus Christ. So Paul is asking and ordering, commanding Timothy, stick with the Word of God. That's why Paul gave him seven nouns. In verse 16, we can say like this, Paul's teaching of Jesus Christ, Paul's love and heart for of Jesus Christ, and his life goal to know Christ, and in his faith in Christ, his love for Christ, his steadfastness in Christ. All these are the examples that Paul tried to convey to Timothy. Paul is basically saying that, as you've seen in me, and you have already witnessed in my life, please continue to teach, remain and teach, and follow Christ. Because people are confused. And many of them are already following false teachers. And protect the church and build God's kingdom. Now, interesting thing is that Paul's examples, all these things of his life, did not promise Timothy a good life, a successful ministry. In verse 11, it says, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me, which persecution I endure. In verse 12, he said, Paul guaranteed that Timothy will get the same thing. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. As a young minister, I'm sure that Timothy was a little bit confused. Paul is presenting all the things. These are my lifestyle that you have witnessed in me. And keep this and keep doing it and learning about that and preach Christ. But Paul guaranteed him, you'll be persecuted. Now, Paul knew that Timothy's life as an evangelist or pastor or minister at Ephesus will be very difficult. It's same thing for us as Christians living in the world. As living in the world as Christians, it's really difficult. We heard the news this week. The gunman asking, are you a Christian? Yes, you will die. Paul knew that Timothy will be persecuted by evil people in Ephesus. And the false teachers continually come and bringing different doctrines, the doctrine of laws or a doctrine of their own faith and believing system to destroy the church. They will not give up. That's why Paul said evil people. Many evil people will be talking about endless genealogies, not about Jesus Christ, but empty theology and vacant words in the church to steal their hearts from our Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, amazingly, if those people are among us, people in Ephesus listen to them, listen to all their false teachings, and are confused and follow their path. That's why Paul describes them as evil people and imposters. Deceiving and deceived. That's a funny expression we read. Then Timothy must have asked himself, okay, I understand what you're trying to say to me, but what shall I do right now? Maybe he was a little bit discouraged. Maybe he was thinking maybe it's better for him to move on to find another church. But Paul urged him, don't do that, anything like that, but stick with his conviction and faith in Christ, verse 14, repeating again, because continue means, is the theme of this verse, but continue in what you have learned, firmly believed. And verse 15 goes, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Now, Paul goes deeper. You stick with all the teachings from the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise. Wise for what? Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. At that time, they didn't have the New Testament yet. But Paul here is saying that the sacred writings, which means the Old Testament, that is for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We clearly know that what Paul is trying to say, the Old Testament is pointing at Jesus Christ. Paul commanded him to stay there. Stay with his faith and what he had learned from his mother and grandmother about Jesus Christ. Paul urged him, continue to trust the sacred writings that he has been learning since he was a boy. We believe that he had learned since he was age five. There was a salvation through faith in Christ Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said here. Let's go a little bit quick to move on. What about our world? Now, we heard what Paul said to Timothy. And what about our contemporary world? And what about our contemporary churches? What about our church? Do they really have evil people or imposters in churches? Or we have only good people here, nice and friendly and holy people. Do we really have evil people and imposters in churches? Answer is yes, we do. As Paul mentioned, we have seriously evil people and imposters in church. And then our heart is saddened when we hear someone preaches the goodness of a successful life on earth. I was trying to listen to one sermon that mega church in Texas, I believe. It's really depressing. In the beginning of his sermon, only talking about God will bless you, God will give you blessings, your business will go, and where is Jesus Christ? Our heart is totally broken when we hear people abuse and misunderstand and misuse the Word of God. And our heart is broken, devastated when our brothers and sisters are attacked by these false teachings of the gospel, and driven by their false thoughts and ideas and theories. Our heart is really devastated. Yes, we do. We do have evil people and imposters in the contemporary 21st century churches here in this earth. Then our question is, what shall we do? When our church is going through a very difficult moment in time because of false teachings and evil people, the imposters in the church, and false gospel, and everything's happening, what shall we do? We surely feel helpless and powerless. We don't know what to do. The same thing happened in our church history. Martin Luther insisted that it was completely unbiblical to sell indulgences. That means indulgences means the remission of the temporal penalty by the Roman Catholic Church. It's a small piece of a parchment that guaranteed forgiveness of sins for a price, It's quote, as soon as a coin in the copper rings, the soul from purgatory springs. False teaching came into church in 16th century. The Roman Catholic Church insisted that a church has the authority, we have the authority to sell indulgence for the benefit of the community of the saints. What authority they have. The Roman Church believed that all Christians can share the merits of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints by their tradition. And what tradition they're talking about. So when the John Tetzel came to Wittenberg, where Martin Luther lived there to sell indulgences, in October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther, he posted in 95th, five theses on the castle door at Wittenberg. And Martin Luther argued that justification came by faith alone. What are you guys talking about? Selling indulgences for forgiveness of your sin? Then where is Jesus Christ? Faith alone in Christ through teaching of the scripture. Not tradition of the church. Not the authority of the Pope. It's interesting to read the history that when the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V ordered him to come and answer all the questions, this is what Luther said, unless I'm convicted of error by the scripture to which I have appealed, and my conscience is taken captive by God's word. So he's acting because of God's word. And he said, I cannot and will not recant of anything. For to act against our conscience is neither safe for us nor open to us. Here I stand, I can do no other. May God help me. Amen. That's what he said. Then the Reformation has begun. The reformers saying sola scriptura. Sola scriptura has begun to proclaim the truth of the word of God. Only scripture, word of God, against the medieval evil people and imposters in the church in 16th century. Nothing else but going back to the scripture. The scripture is the only way to find the once for all death of Jesus Christ. Not the mass or other traditions or other authority of the church. The scripture clearly declares that justification by faith, not by purgatory system or prayers of saints. The scripture reveals that the power of God's word alone, not the power of a person or the Pope. Nothing beyond the scripture is true. That's why Paul says in our text, verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That's our church history. We do have evil people and imposters, people who are bringing things from outside to the church, to the God's people. What shall we do? Now, Paul is he's commanding his student and Timothy about a scripture, and he says, all scripture is breathed out by God. Now we see that Paul is teaching about, his teaching begins with the inspiration of the scripture. Who started? God started. Paul knew that there were lots of false teachers who even didn't know about the scripture in Ephesus. That's we read in First Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or things about which they make confident assertions. The point of Paul's teaching here is very clear to us. All scriptures, he's talking about the Old Testament, is from God, not from humans. It's God's word. God communicated His truth, the truth of the gospel, through His people, to His people, through His word. Because all the scripture is God's inspired word. That means His divine word. Therefore, that means it's true. That means the scripture has absolute authority. Nothing else. The scripture has the absolute power and authority over everything. So Paul is saying to Timothy, hey, Timothy, no, don't listen to the false teachers. They're endless genealogies. Don't be confused. Don't be with them, but go back to the scripture and read it, study it, meditate on it, and listen to what God said, what only God breathed word. Here Paul uses the word all. It means in Greek is every. He emphasizes that every single word is inspired by God and God Himself. That is why this is Holy Scripture. Since all the Scripture is breathed by God, it's automatic, it's our logical, there is no misleading, all the Scripture is infallible. Then every teaching from the Scripture is sufficient for everyone, for our life on earth. That's enough. Then every teaching from the Scripture is sure and reliable and trustworthy for God's people. There is no error, no false, no mistake. We're talking about the inerrancy of God's Word. It's our logical movement. Since God's word is inspired by God, it's profitable for teaching. Paul talks about four things. A theologian said, I read a book, and he said, it is profitable for Timothy's preparation for ministry. Now Paul is talking about Timothy. What you need is the scripture. It will help you to prepare your ministry. Now, only God's word provides him what to do and how to do in his ministry. As we know, Timothy was young and not much experience. And in 1 Timothy in verse 4 and 12 says, let no one despise you for your youth. He's young. But from this teaching, it is profitable for teaching. That means, Timothy, you are not an experienced minister. I know that. But don't be discouraged by your age. Since you have the word to study, the word, it's profitable for your ministry and your teaching. Scripture is the only true source for your ministry in Ephesus. The scripture will prepare you and to help you to protect the church and all the Christians from evil people and impostors, therefore sola scriptura. Brothers and sisters, the same is true for all of us. Scripture is the only source for our ministry. It's only source for our action. It's conviction of our Reformed faith. The scripture is a source of our Christian doctrine. It is profitable for reproof or rebuking. And in the second one, a theologian says the same thing. Scripture is the best ammunition for rebuking the false teachers. How can we fight against false teachers? We have to have the Bible. We might have many theories and suggestions and thoughts and views for our church, because we can bring lots of things from our experience. That's not wrong. But to look at the world, look at the trend of the world, many churches are adopting kind of worldly business model to church ministry. Is that wrong? Is it right? We cannot say. But what's going on? Many churches are borrowing things of the world to fill the empty seats of the church. I mean, did we really study the Word of God first and what God says in the Bible? And we study first what God says about our worship and what it means to be God's people in the world, and how can we share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did we really study first? I mean, are we doing all right? And Paul says, it is profitable for rebuking. Only the Word of God reveals false teachings. Only the Word of God protects God's people in here, in His holy church, from false teachings. Only the Scripture finds the error of the world. It will tell us. And the false teachings. Only Scripture exposes the sins of the world, your sin, even my sin, and failures and mistakes. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. How do we know about this? How do we know about we died, completely died, and but we lived again by grace alone? The Scripture tells us. So Paul is saying to Timothy, even to us, don't be deceived by the fantasy of the world, the fantasy of the people. And I agree that it's a foolish action or thing to put everything first before the Scripture. But oftentimes we do that. Then we see that what Paul says in the beginning of the chapter, we are literally persecuted, not by like a physically, but spiritually. Look at that. Evil people are attacking our church. We lost our trust on the Bible, our faith in the Bible. We're looking at the different things. Paul says, it is profitable for correction. The word correcting is used in only here in the New Testament. It means correction, but at the same time, setting right in Greek. Now, the only Scripture that means, only Scripture restores setting right our life before God. For example, we are oftentimes reminded of God's law. And His promises through Scriptures. Jesus says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. We know this one. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If we don't know what Jesus said in the Scripture, we just hate our enemies. We don't like them. And anger fills our hearts in finding the way to make it even. But the Scripture says, no, that's not the way you can do. That's not what God wants you and me to live in this earth as God's people. As we have received His forgiveness and abundant grace and love, and we are called to share the love, pray for them, love our enemies in the world. That's what the scripture says. And as Paul says, Romans 7:15, this is our tendency. I do not do what I want, but I do the way things I hate. That's our sinful nature. We want to do things that we shouldn't do because we want to do. We have a tendency to do wrong and commit sins against God. But Scripture reveals these things and correcting us. The Scripture keeps correcting us and setting right things with God before God. Our sinful nature is corrected, continually rebuked and corrected by the Word of God. Therefore, we need the Word of God. It is the only way to keep our life make holy, holy before God's presence. That means, Paul goes to the last one, it is profitable for training in righteousness. The scripture is designed to train you and me, God's people, to produce right conduct, right things. That's what Paul said at the beginning. God says in Leviticus chapter 20 and 26, that's what He said, you shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord am holy. We cannot be holy because we are sinners. We are filthy and dirty and nasty. We bring garbage of sins before the Lord. But the Word of God has led us and trained us to be holy people. In Psalm 119 verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Psalm 119:105, your word is lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We cannot be righteous, but God declares us righteous in Christ, who is the Word, John chapter 1. Our life should be trained by the Holy Scripture. Our mind and behaviors and thoughts must be trained and shaped by teaching of the Bible. That's our norm. The power of God is enough to change us and train us, making us different people. It's powerful enough to change the world, Romans 12. If we believe that, we can change the nation. A Dutch theologian, Herman Ridderbos, insists that 2 Timothy 3:16 has two parts. The first one deals with the creed, and it says teaching and rebuking. And the second one deals with conduct, which is correction and training. I understood it as first one as the Word of God gives us because of foundation of our faith. That's right. Before go to someone else's book or theological debating book, we must go back to the Bible first. And the second part deals with conduct. Now, I agree. The Word of God teaches you and me how to live in this world. Before we go to somebody else, or how to be a successful Christian, or conferences, let's go back to the Bible. If we have time to go somewhere, let's go back to the Bible and look at the Bible first, then move on. That's why verse 17 says that the man of God may be complete, through all his scripture may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, brothers and sisters, the best part of the power of the scripture is this, John chapter 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He is with us. In Jesus Christ, the Word came to the world to fulfill God's promise the promise of God in the Old Testament to save us, to redeem us. We have the Word. I hope you remember my sermon on Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11, 3 weeks ago. It's about God's Word. And God's Word is perfect and sure and right and pure and precious and sweet and rewarding. Through our missionaries, especially Jeremy and Krista, sometimes we heard that there are many tribes and people who don't have the scripture, the Bible in their hands. But we do. We do have this holy Bible in our hand. We are able to access to this God's Word every day. Then questions are like this. What does the scripture mean to you and me? It's just a book that we can see once in a while. Or it makes me comfortable when we have it, when you carry this book. Where do we find the truth of Jesus Christ? His redeeming grace. Do we really spend our time regularly, I mean every day, morning and afternoon and evening, with God's Word? Where is your heart? There are many people out there, they don't have the Bible, they're looking for God's Word. But we do have, then do we really spend our time with God? How about this question? Is your life and my life shaped by the Word of God? We're all different people. We have different characteristics and personalities. Sometimes we crash each other. We disagree. But if we believe this, there is a solution. Because God is, the Word of God is shaping us as God's people. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let's continue to read and study and meditate the Word of God, the Scripture. The Scripture is absolutely authoritative and sufficient to help us to know Christ. Bring your hearts back to God, sola scriptura. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this wonderful passage about your Holy Scripture that we have. Would you please help us to understand the depth of your truth from the Bible? Would you please bring our hearts to your Word so that we will not be driven by the worldly thinking and attacked by false teachings? Protect our church. Protect our congregation. Protect your church in the world. Bring our hearts to your scripture first, Lord. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation of